delighted to be joined in the studio by Nick Taylor, PGA professional. Just get a bit closer to that mic for us, will you?
Yep.
Please, Nick. And you work for American Golf?
I work for American Golf at Aintree, so local to here.
Yeah.
I'm originally from North London. I've grew up as in North London, worked in Essex as a PGA pro, worked in American Golf in Essex as well, and got transferred up last summer to Aintree.
Right.
Great facility there. Thanks, David. great facility at Aintree. David's been down to visit.
That's our producer, Dave Downey, just popping into...
I focus on the coaching and the custom fitting side.
Right. And enjoying it?
Love it, yeah. Absolutely love it. It's great to do a job that you enjoy, you know, helping golfers day in, day out.
And how have you taken to Merseyside and Liverpool itself?
Well, I enjoy it so far. I get back down to London every now and then to visit family and friends, but I do enjoy it up here. The people are very friendly, I have to say.
And this, I suppose, is a real exciting time for you because, I mean, even if you're not a major golf fan, the Masters has something special about it, to say the least.
I think you speak to family and friends, and I think it's one of the one events that non-golfers do watch, which I think is fantastic. It was obviously, as a golfer myself, and I've always been fascinated by the Masters right from my early age, and it's probably my favourite event of the year because it's the first one. It's the start of the season as well, so it's great. I'm really looking forward to it.
I mean, is it one of the most difficult to hit? People always say the Open is the most difficult, but sometimes the way that course is set in Augusta, it just appears to be more difficult than the others.
I think with the when you look at the Open, it's the conditions that plays that's tricky. Whereas at Augusta, it's literally the golf course.
Yes,
you've got the slopes, you've got the greens. You got the course is getting longer and longer. They're trying to defend it because golfers are hitting it so much further these days. So it's just a tough golf course. Mm. And whereas the Open is more, it's more on the weather on the day. Lynx golf, it's very different type of golf. So it's, in a way, you'd say the Open's harder to predict. But I think when you look at the lineup this year, I think it's the same with the Masters.
Yeah. We'll talk about the runners and riders very shortly indeed. But just from your own perspective, have you been out to Augusta, or is it somewhere you would love to go?
I'd love to go. One day. I've got a friend of mine who's out there at the moment, Rob. I've just been watching his Instagram and his posts this morning. I'm very jealous of him.
Yeah.
So I wish one day. It's on the list, definitely.
To play or to watch?
I think watch now. I think I'm a little bit past it now.
I suppose when we do watch on television, I mean, those that have been out there, I suppose it doesn't do it justice in terms of the undulations, the slopes and the elevations that you see.
I've spoke to a few people that have been out there, and that's the one thing they always say is when you get there, how slopey the golf course is.
Yeah.
Not only the greens, because that's obviously one of the biggest defences of the golf course, but how just the 18th, how much uphill that 18th hole is. So on TV, I don't think you can appreciate that until you actually get there.
Even with the wonderful TV pictures that we get nowadays.
Still, I think it's. I think when you there was 3D a little while ago.
Yeah, didn't really catch on.
Didn't really catch on that, but I did watch the Masters 1 year, and you could kind of see. But I think it's just, it's fantastic to watch on TV. Obviously, you look at the green course with the flowers and everything. It's just a great. Yeah. Great start to the year, I think.
Yeah, I think even gardeners watch it just for those flowers, don't
they? Yeah, they do, yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't placed my my bets as yet because it's one of those events that I just feel I've got to have a little, 10 or 20 quid on year after year. Occasionally have the odd win, but last year came close with Justin Rose, who's, again, amongst the favourites. But there are so many in good form, Nick, at the moment.
I'm sinking back, and I think it's got to be probably one of the toughest ones to predict. Like, it's always tough to predict, but I think when you look at there's so many different golfers. You've got Tiger Woods is back now as well.
Is it mad to have Tiger at 12-1?
Yes. I think so, but then he's got some form, you know?
Yeah.
I think if you look at major history, he's obviously, it's been a number of years since he won, 2008, since he won a major, 13 years since Augusta. So you would say he's wouldn't be the favourite from that respect, but he's on a bit of form, and with Tiger, you just never know.
And how much does experience count at Augusta? Presumably an awful lot, because the more you play the course, the more you understand these undulations and the slopes on the greens, even though they'll put the pin positions in difficult places anyway.
Yeah, they tend to put similar like pin positions throughout the week. But I think certainly when you look down the previous history, certainly if you've won there before, it does help. I think Spieth, I think in his first outing about 4 years ago, I think he came second, which is very rare, to be honest. So certainly previous experience is key at Augusta.
I mean, looking at the odds at the moment on the particular bookmakers that I've got up on the screen, Jordan Spieth is favourite here at 10-1. Justin Thomas 11-1. Tiger Woods at 12. Rory's at 11-1.
Is Dustin up there as well?
Dustin is 13s on here. So I mean, it's so hard to call, isn't it? You could literally, you know, stick a pin on any of the top 15 players.
Literally,
really.
Yeah. I think. Obviously, Dustin goes in world number one, so it's big for him. I think last year, I don't know if you remember, he sprained his ankle falling down the stairs in his apartment because he was heading into Augusta this time last year, and he was red hot favourite. He'd just come off a win, and he got injured. So it's his first attempt really since he's reached number one. So I think he's certainly going to be a key player. But like you say, you can literally anyone is almost as unpredictable as, say, the Grand National, which you've got next week.
I suppose you're right. There's arguments either way. I mean, who'd have picked out Danny Willett a couple of years ago to win the Masters? It's
exactly,
just incredible, isn't it?
And I think I looked at Danny's odds earlier, and I think he's about 100-1 maybe even more to win this week, because obviously a lot of it does come down to form. Mm. But you do have some surprise winners. Obviously, like you say, you have Danny Willett, you had Charles Schwartzel, 2011, I think that was. Which he sort of came out of nowhere, birdied the last four holes to win. So anything can happen. Mm. Anything can.
I suppose on Merseyside, we're rooting for Tommy Fleetwood, who's had a remarkable year, absolutely fantastic to work his way up the rankings, and he's very much a contender now, isn't he?
I think so, yeah. To win the race to Dubai last year as well, I think he's really come on as a golfer the last year or so. And I think he's certainly he's one of our hopes from an English point of view to win the green jacket.
Well, he's only played there once, hasn't he? And missed the cut, didn't he, last year?
Yeah, I think he hasn't got much form there. But again, he's a quality player, and it's on the day. And if you can drive well and you can putt well, I think anyone's got a chance. And hopefully Tommy can do it this week.
Is it more about putting than anything else at Augusta? I mean, you've got to get to the green in the first place, of course. But
no, I think it's a combination. I think it's like any event, but the greens are one of its biggest defence. I think driving is key. I think in the last few years, the courses, they've extended some of the holes, made it longer. And I think the driving has become more of a part to it, not just the putting. I think obviously the more times you play there, the more experience you have on the greens, which helps for certain individuals. But I think it's a combination of things at Augusta. You need to be on your game.
You're listening to Radio City Talks Full Time. It's Alan Irwin in for Matt Jones, and Nick Taylor's in the studio with me. We're previewing the Masters in some detail, actually, and looking at those that are in contention. And I suppose even if you're out at 40s, 50-1, you'll still fancy your chances at Augusta, because if you've played there before, you'll know what it's all about. And, you know, looking further down the list of contenders, I mean, Tommy Fleetwood's at 40-1. Alex Noren, 45-1.
He's had some form. I don't think he's won on the PGA Tour yet, but also he tends to hit a bit of a fade, which around Augusta you tend to see more draws of the golfer from a right-handed point of view win the event. So I think that's probably why he's a little bit higher in the odds. But normally, for a normal PGA Tour event, he's obviously got a bit of form this year.
Adam Scott, 50-1, previous winner,
I think, what, 2013 was it?
Yeah.
So, again, you never know. But, again, he's not had the form, which is key.
Now, somebody we're going to talk about here is also showing odds of 50-1, who on Sunday morning wasn't in Augusta's list. Ian Poulter. What a dramatic finish that was on Sunday.
I'm so pleased for him, really, because he's been up against it the last couple of years with injuries. And to come back, and obviously he knew at the start of last week he wasn't in Augusta, and to win the event and get there. You never know. It could be a fairy tale. He could win last week and heads this week, and you never know. The pressure could be off.
He'll be on a high, won't he, to say the least?
Certainly, yeah. He was pumped up, wasn't he, when he won the other day.
Full Time with Matt Jones. Rock, sport and talk. Radio City Talk.
Well, it's not the voice of Matt Jones. It's Alan Irwin in for Matt on Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday already feels like we're turning the attention towards the weekend, and we've only had one day in work. Well, most of you have only had one day in work. It's a shorter working week, but it's a great week we're looking forward to on Radio City Talk, not just the football, which we're going to focus on a little bit later on. Of course, the Merseyside Derby this weekend, and then into next week, we've got the Grand National as well, but there's a big event taking place over the pond this week. Starts tomorrow. It is the Masters Golf in Augusta, and Nick Taylor, PGA Pro himself, is with us in the studio going through some of the main contenders and what just might happen. It's probably, as we've already mentioned, the most unpredictable of all, but it's one that keeps us suitably enthralled. Are you one that's going to sit in front of the television from the coverage as soon as it gets underway tomorrow, Nick?
Definitely. And yeah, I'll be watching the par three contest tonight.
Yeah.
So as tradition, on the day before the Masters, you have the par three contest.
Yeah, it's an entertaining event.
Yeah, it's good fun. It sort of gets the buzz. So I'll be watching as much as I can.
Yeah. I think the coverage is fantastic now, isn't it? Television coverage of golf. It's improved substantially over the years. Sky have done wonders for it as well. Yeah. Although many will say, you know, it's been taken away from terrestrial TV in that sense, but I don't think you can fault the actual coverage that they bring.
No, I think Sky do a great job. I think what I enjoy is seeing the flight of the ball. You have these TrackMan pro tracers, and I think that really helps the viewer, because when you watch it on TV, you obviously hit the ball so fast it's gone. But if you have these tracers, I think that does definitely add to the viewer. It does make it much more enjoyable to watch, I think, because you can actually see what the ball does, and so I think the coverage nowadays is amazing on Sky.
In-depth analysis of every single hole, isn't there, really? And you know, you can almost feel as though you're part of it thanks to that coverage. Let's just talk about some of the other contenders. We seem to have mentioned many a player, but there are many in form as well. Let's talk about last year's winner, Sergio Garcia. Is he in the type of form or even in the frame at the moment?
I think you've got to put him in the frame, definitely. Garcia is a quality player. He's had a little bit of form this year. Nothing to shout home about, but I think he's definitely one that you would consider. Obviously defending. Not many players defend the Masters. You can say on one side of it, but I think he's won there before. You'll have that confidence. The pressure's off now. He's got his major, which I'm delighted about. I think he was one of the best players never to win a major. I think that now he's got that monkey off his back, I think it does take the pressure off a little bit.
Bubba Watson, or Blubber Watson.
Well,
I mean, he's done it twice before, hasn't he? So, and again, he's won a tournament very recently, hasn't he?
He won, two or three weeks ago. He's won twice this year. He won the match play, and he won
the Genesis Open. Just see.
Yeah, he's won twice this year, and I think part of it was down to he really dropped out of the world rankings last year.
He was considering retirement, apparently.
Yeah, it was interesting because he used these coloured balls. I don't know if you knew that. He was using coloured balls, and I think he's gone back to his original golf ball, and that seems to make the difference. And I think the golf ball does make a big difference in this game. There's obviously talk about them putting limits because these golf courses are becoming so short for the long hitters.
Yeah.
But certainly he's gone back to that golf ball, and I think he's found his confidence again. I think that's all it is with Bubba. A lot of it is about confidence. He's a field player. I think once he's got that win, he's really elevated his game. So you have to say he's got to be one of the big favourites this week.
We talked about Tommy Fleetwood as a local hope. We haven't talked much about too many other UK contenders.
Yeah.
Let's talk Rory first of all. It would complete the Grand Slam for him, but he's got to be in with a shout, hasn't he? He's back on form.
Yeah, well, again, another winner recently. So again, I'd love Rory to do it. I think he deserves to win the Grand Slam. He obviously had that blow up a few years ago, and he was leading, heading into the back nine on Sunday, and he threw it away. But I think, again, it's on the week, and a lot of it will probably come down to his putting, I think.
Yeah,
if he gets his putter hot, you never know, Rory. But he has too many rounds where he misses too many putts, and that can cost you, especially at Augusta.
Mm. Paul Casey is someone who is probably high up in, well, in terms of the bookies, he must be about 25 to 1 or something. So
I think he is, yeah.
Deservedly so, given the form that he's in as well.
Again, yeah, another recent winner on tour. And if you look at his recent record at Augusta, I think he's had quite a number of top fives last few years. So certainly as a each way bet, hopefully to win from an English point of view, but certainly he's one you'd expect to do well this week.
9 top 10 finishes in major championships, with 5 of those as he's coming in the Masters and three in succession. So you're absolutely spot on there, Nick. So he's somebody that we shouldn't rule out, and probably an each way bet if he is around about 22s, 20, 25 to 1. Anybody else that you'd pick out as maybe an outsider that you might want to invest the odd pound on? Matt Fitzpatrick, maybe? Ross Fisher?
Well, Ross Fisher's had a little bit of form this past year. I think it's like with anything, Alan, you could literally look down that list, look at someone like Charlie Hoffman. I think he's out at sort of maybe 80 to 1. He's had a little bit of form at Augusta. He's one that potentially could do something. Matsuyama, I think he's about 30-odd to 1. He's had some good form at Augusta. So you look at players that have done well that maybe have just hit some recent form as well.
Yeah, Casey 22 to 1 I've got here. Matsuyama, as you say, 30 to 1. Difficult to pick out a little bit further down the field if you're going for a real outsider, I suppose. Matt Fitzpatrick, who we just mentioned there, 80 to 1. Rafael Cabrera.
Bayo.
Now, he's always there or thereabouts, isn't he? 90 to 1.
Well, I think I don't recall him being near the top of the leaderboard in recent weeks. I think he plays a bit more on the European tour as well. Mm. So, again, he's a long hitter. So, Spanish, again. We've had a couple of Spanish winners in recent years.
Yeah.
So, you never know.
And, of course, this is a smaller field than we get in the likes of the Open, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, I think it was about 100 runners, is it, in the Masters?
I suppose I think 140,
150. 140-odd in the Open.
Yeah.
You've got a few amateurs playing at the Masters this year as well. And you've obviously got a few older winners, like Woosnam and Lyle.
2,000 to 1. Sandy Lyle, 2,000 to 1. Larry Mize, 2,000 to 1.
I can't see that happening.
Alassabal, 1,000 to 1.
Yeah, I can't see that happening.
There's a former winner. Trevor Immelman as well. He's a former winner, isn't he?
2008, I think he was.
1,000 to 1.
Thousands, is he really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, obviously the bookies, they know their stuff. They're looking at the recent form, aren't they, on that one?
Harry Ellis, last year's amateur.
Amateur champion.
Champion.
Yeah.
You can get odds of 1,000 to 1 on him.
I think for a lot of the amateurs, it's for them, it's to try and win. I think they get a silver medal or something like that for being the top amateur.
Yeah.
I think if they can make the cut, I think they're more than happy with that. So it'll be good to hopefully see if Harry can make the cut this week.
It's Radio City Talks full-time. It's Alan in for Matt. We're talking the Masters and previewing the event that gets underway tomorrow in Augusta. Looking forward to trying to watch as much as the wife will let me over the course of a big, big sporting weekend, which includes the Merseyside Derby, the Manchester Derby and other bits and pieces. So in between commentating on one of those games, I'll try and squeeze the Masters in as well. It's great, Nick. We're looking forward to it. And something I want to talk to you about, actually, is you touched on earlier about players hitting the ball even further than they have done in the past. Now, is this just natural human growth and power, or is there something about the clubs and the way they are designed nowadays?
I think, Alan, you have to look at probably a combination of things, but certainly the standout one for me is the ball. I think the ball is the key to these players hitting the ball so far.
Mm.
I think I've tested out. I do reviews and club reviews on golf clubs and things like that. And I tested a Pro V1 golf ball, which is one of the top balls around, and against an old golf ball with modern equipment. And I found that the golf ball made the biggest difference in terms of how far the shot goes than the clubs.
Wow.
I think if you took a wooden golf club but used the modern ball, they would still hit the ball a long way.
Wow, that's incredible.
So I would say that has a bigger effect than the actual clubs, is the golf ball.
So buy a quality golf ball, even for an amateur like myself, a part-time golfer who just occasionally trudges around 18 holes, you know, six or seven times a year. Would it make a difference to someone like me, or are you talking fine margins for professionals?
It depends what type of golf ball you're using. Mm. I think if you used a ball from 20 years ago, I think you'd notice the difference
right.
in terms of distance. Mm. But I would say at the top level of the game, certainly the smallest of margins can make the biggest difference sometimes. So yeah. I would say the golf ball is by far the biggest factor in these golfers hitting the ball so far.
I don't suppose it matters to me. I've got to hit the ball straight in the first instance. Never well, keep it's on the fairway.
Just, yeah, it's not just about hitting it far. You've got to get the golf ball into the hole as well, which is obviously part of the skill.
And how much has changed in your... I mean, you're a very young man, Nick, but have you seen real development and growth and change in golf clubs over your time?
Certainly. I've probably started playing golf 20 years ago as a junior, and I started out and I think I had one wooden wood. Mm. So that's, we're talking 20 years ago, and now obviously you've got these massive great big heads, and I think certainly the technology of the golf clubs has improved, but I think every day I work with different golfers looking at equipment, custom fitting. I'm very lucky to have access to all the latest settled technology, and certainly it does improve year on year, but it's starting to get harder and harder. There's limits in terms of how they can make the golf. If you look at drivers, for example, there's limits.
The size of the head.
The size has reached its limit probably 10 years ago, but it's more about the how fast the ball can come off the face. There's limits to how fast that ball can actually come off the face. They call it the trampoline effect, and they've sort of maximised that. So I think in terms of actual distance, they've reached their peak. So you're looking at the drivers these days, they're looking more forgiveness and adjustability.
So Dustin Johnson's drive of a mammoth 489 yards at the WGC match play in Texas, we're not going to see anything like that on a regular basis, are we?
No, I've got a feeling it was slightly downwind, that hole.
It must have been. So this is something that the golfing bodies are looking at, the R&A and the US Golf Association as well. Are they wanting to act sooner rather than later?
I think you could definitely see something come in with a golf ball. But I would, when that will happen, I don't know. Over the years, they've limited the drivers, the face, how thin the face is. They've limited the wedges, how deep the grooves are and the shape of the grooves. And I think the next step is the ball. So I think that is the biggest thing that makes a difference. There's a lot of these golf courses, they're lengthening, but there's only so much you can do that. So I personally could see that happening, especially on the Pro Tour. I think for the average golfer, I don't think they need a limit on the golf ball. But certainly I think maybe for the pros.
So with the improvement that we see on golf balls and clubs as well, does that make you think to players of yesteryear and how they would perform today? Would the likes of Jack Nicklaus and Lee Trevino and some of the greats that we've seen, you know, the Tom Watsons, etc., would they be even better with the modern equipment?
That's a very difficult question to answer. But I would say, obviously, the technology would help. Whether
I suppose it's all relative, isn't it?
I think it's all relative. That's what they've grown up using those wooden drivers, if you like. And I think it's like you say, it's all relative for the era. So I don't think it would make that much difference. I don't think that you'd still have probably Jack Nicklaus at the top of the major list.
I mean, great players from the past and you know that era. You know, through the 70s and the Sevies in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s as well. Fantastic. But the golfers that we've talked about today, are we seeing a special sort of plethora of players at the moment? Because there are some really good young players who are dominating the golfing scene at the moment.
Yeah, it seems to get younger and younger as well. I think if you go back 20 years, you look at the major champions, they're all probably in their 30s. Majority of them. Now you've got younger and younger players coming through. I think it's a combination of things. I think the, especially in the States, the college system over there, the standard is so good. So they're playing at a high level right from a young age. I think that makes a big difference. Mm. I don't think the competition was there, say, 40, 50 years ago. So I think the players are just getting younger and younger and almost have no fear these days.
There's so many to pay. It's almost impossible. I think I might just have one of the big boys and one outsider, Nick, and maybe leave it at that.
I think that's probably a safe bet, really.
Yeah.
Like, say, you could scroll down that list and pick anyone as an outsider. But certainly, you'd expect the winner to come from the top 10 or 12 players on that list.
Makes it more interesting to watch, though, doesn't it? If your man's in there on the final day, it's fantastic.
Yeah, especially if you pick an outsider that has a good run. It's great fun.
Problem I'll have this year is final day Sunday, and I'm on breakfasts next week. So that means I have to get up very early and stay up very late on Sunday night.
Well, it depends if your player's still in it.
Yeah, if he's not, that's it, forget it. Right, just looking further ahead from the Masters. I mean, obviously we'll keep an eye on all the major tournaments this year. But it's Ryder Cup year as well, isn't it?
Of course, yeah, in France.
Yeah.
I think for Europe, they've got to try and win back that trophy because they've been dominant, haven't they, the last sort of 15 years or so. I think they've that was only the second loss last time round in about 8 or 9 cups. So I think certainly the Europeans will be looking to try and win that back.
Is this a tournament that's getting bigger and bigger each time it's staged every couple of years?
Oh, yeah, certainly. Yeah, it's you speak to golfers and non-golfers and some of them will watch the Masters and the Ryder Cup. Mm. So I think they're two of the best things to watch on TV. Yeah. I can't wait for the Ryder Cup this year. I think it is probably one of the best ones to watch, I think, on TV.
And a first for Paris.
Yeah, first for Paris as well. Not too far from England. Mm. So I'm hoping to maybe pop over there.
Yeah.
If I can.
A few mates have already said they've managed to snap up tickets. So that should be quite an event to go to. It's always middle of September, is it? Around about the 18th, 20th of September?
Yeah, it's usually towards the end of September. Yeah. I think one year when we had it at Wales, we had that bit of a washout, didn't we?
Oh,
I think that was the 2010. I think that was beginning of October.
Yeah.
You never know. Hopefully in France, the weather might be okay. But usually towards the end of September.
Doesn't matter what time of the year it takes place here. You just never know what the weather's going to do.
You never know, yeah.
Which is why the Open is such a test, as you say. Where is the Open this year? Is it
Carnoustie?
Carnoustie.
Yeah. Right, so, obviously, with Birkdale down the road.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah.
And obviously an American winner.
Yeah. Well, we've been spoilt around here, haven't we? And, you know, Hoylake has staged it a couple of times over the past sort of 12 years. So,
You got Lytham as well, just up the road.
Yeah. So, do you try and attend all the Opens when the...
This is the first time I've moved up here. So, I've always been down south. So, I've been to the ones at sort of Royal St. George's.
Yeah.
More local ones. I've been to St Andrews to watch the Open, which was awesome.
I've been to Troon.
Yeah.
Not been to St Andrews, and obviously been to Lytham, Birkdale, and Hoylake when they're on our doorstep. You've just got to do it, haven't you? So.
No, I arrived too late for that one because I moved up here in August, and obviously just a month after Birkdale, so I missed that one.
So what's on your personal agenda at the moment, Nick, in terms of work? And
Well, I work for American Golf, custom fitting. I'm very busy doing that. I help them out doing video stuff as well. I do a little bit of YouTube. So
the videos are amending people's stance and
a variety, drives. A variety of things, really. I do golf tips. I do club reviews. So I review golf clubs and put them online. So I do that for American Golf and for myself on my YouTube channel. So I'm busy doing that day in, day out. Coaching. Club fitting. So I have quite a busy schedule, but I enjoy it. I think that's one of the best things about my job is although it's long hours, I really enjoy and love doing what I do.
Yeah. Well, we're delighted you're taking the time out to join us for best part of an hour today. It's been great to get a little bit of insight as to who might do the business out on that Augusta course.
Thanks for having me on. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I hope that you get to see as much of it as you possibly can, and myself too. And I'll keep an eye out for one or two of those names that we've discussed today. Although, as you say, it really is anybody's, but you'd expect. One of the top 15, I think.
I would think so. I think if I had to stick my neck out, I'd probably say Jordan Spieth.